The word of God given us today is Acts chapter 16, verse 26 to 34. Acts chapter 16, verse 26 to 34. Allow me to read. Suddenly there was such a violent earthquake that the foundations of the prison were shaken. At once all the prison doors flew open and everybody's chain came loose. The jailer woke up, and when he saw the prison doors open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself because he thought the prisoner had escaped. But Paul shouted, "Don't harm yourself. We are all here." The jailer called for lights, rushed in, and fell trembling before Paul and Silas. He then brought them out and asked, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" They replied, "Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, you and your household." Then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all the others in his house. At that hour of the night, the jailer took them and washed their wounds. Then immediately he and all his family were baptized. The jailer brought them into his house and set a meal before them. He was filled with joy because he had come to believe in God and he and his whole family. Amen. Philippi, the city Apostle Paul visited 2,000 years ago, was completely perished by a great earthquake after 1,000 years later, that is 1,000 years ago from now. However, you will be really surprised to see how enormous the scale of the city if you visit the site in person. A part of the prison where Paul and Silas were detained is still there. A great scene of Philippi can be seen in front of the prison with agora where Paul and Silas were flogged publicly. There's also a shrine for Dionysus on the back of the prison. Dionysus in Greek mythology is known as God of vine growing or God of wine. He's called Bacchus in Roman mythology. There is an outdoor theater which can accommodate 3,000 people on the hillside near the prison. Via Ignatia, a business city and a strategically significant point, connects the east and the west of the Balkan Peninsula. And around 1,000 talents of gold was excavated in mountain Pengel, as one talent weighs 34 kilograms, around 34,000 kilograms of gold was produced there. The mountain was literally a gold mine.
바로 그 빌립보에 한밤중에 찾아왔습니다.
The midnight fell in that Philippi.
한밤중의 정.
The whole city was surrounded by the silence of the night.
신라를 붙잡아서 아고라까지 개끌듯 끌.
Bad employers who exploited a woman with spirit and later accused Paul and Silas as they dragged them into agora. Those who criticized Paul and Silas without knowing what is right and wrong, magistrates who detained them into prison after flogging without trial, and the jailer who shackled their legs were all deep in sleep. When the sun rises in the morning, people would gather in agora again. There would be a ritual for praising wine at the temple of Dionysus. Exciting shows would be at the outdoor theater. And people would dig out gold as they did yesterday. Nothing seems to be changed. People would do things as usual. Paul and Silas, in a small prison cell, were almost forgotten.
설령 새 아침이 온다 할지라도 그 거대한 빌립보 시민들 가운데
Who would remember them in the middle of the night and the next morning?
그러나 빌립보의 모든 사람들이 바울과 실라를
However, even if all Philippians forget about Paul and Paul Silas, we cannot forget them. Our interest is not in the enormous, bustling city of Philippi, but in Paul and Silas, who are shackled and detained in prison, totally separated from the busy city. All the people in Philippi might forget them, but God, we believe, didn't forget them at all. Paul and Silas knew about it very well. Even though they were beaten and shackled in prison, they have never doubted that God would watch over them, that God knew everything about them, and that God was with them in prison in the middle of the night. So that was not the night in despair to them. On the contrary, they prayed and praised again and again to God for what He would do through them. Verse 26 of today's text testimonies as follows. Suddenly there was such a violent earthquake that the foundations of the prison were shaken. At once all the doors flew open and everybody's chains came loose. Suddenly there was a great earthquake that shook the prison. The prison doors flew open and the chains on their legs came loose. They were finally freed from the shackle. So what shook the prison was not just an earthquake. If it had been, Paul and Silas would have been seriously injured. The foundations of the prison were shaken, but there was no crack or fell. Instead, the prison doors were open and the chains on their legs were loosened precisely. It is because of God's work, not just an earthquake. The foundations of the prison were shaken, doors flew open, chains came loose. All the verbs here are passive. Paul and Silas have never imagined this wonderful work of God. However, God thoroughly prepared these for Paul and Silas, even in the middle of the night. Now, the Philippians were asleep in the midnight. Even so was the jailer who was commanded to guard Paul and Silas carefully. However, the Lord, in whom Paul and Silas believed, neither slumbered nor slept, but worked. Would it be only for Paul and Silas in the middle of that night? Not at all. 1,000 years earlier than today's scripture was written, a poet wrote a poem as follows. He will not let your foot asleep. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. God who transcends time and space watches his people with neither slumbering and sleeping. When we believe in such God, every big and petty thing in our life has an absolute meaning, and we can praise God even desperate situations such as in jail in the middle of the night, as Paul and Silas praying that God's will could be realized through our life. Thanks to the grace of God who did neither slumber nor sleep for Paul and Silas, they could become free. In the verse 27, the jailer woke up and when he saw the prison doors open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself because he thought the prisoners had escaped. The jailer, who fell in a deep sleep, woke up with a sudden shake of the earth. When seeing the prison doors open, he tried to kill himself with his own sword, since he thought Paul and Silas, who were supposed to be guarded carefully under the order of magistrates, had escaped. It was because he was fully aware how he could suffer severe torture and die if prisoners had run away. In the verse 28, but Paul shouted, "Don't harm yourself. We are all here." As I told you on that Sunday, Paul and Silas sat still in the prison cell, even though they knew the doors were open and they were out of chains. It was because they did not pray to be out of the jail. Paul cried out to stop the jailer from killing himself after seeing the jailer trying to commit a suicide, saying they were still in the cell. Since Paul got a hint why the jailer wanted to kill himself. In the verse 29, the jailer called for lights, rushed in, with an unexpected voice of Paul from the cell, the jailer called for lights. Paul asked for lights, not a light, with two lights in both hands, the jailer went into the cell where Paul and Silas were there to clarify if the voice he heard was a vision or a real voice of Paul. And in the cell, with doors open, Paul and Silas sat there still, which was unimaginable for the jailer with common sense. In the verse 29 to 32, the jailer called for lights, rushed in, and fell trembling before Paul and Silas. He then brought them out and asked, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" They replied, "Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, you and your household." Then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all the others in his house. The jailer was overwhelmed by the fortitude of Paul and Silas sitting at the cell despite the situation where they could have escaped. Stricken by unknown power and in fear, the jailer bowed to Paul and Silas and asked how he could be saved. On this question, we will go over next week more deeply. Upon such a fundamental question asked by the jailer, Paul and Silas answered with the gospel of Jesus Christ, and the outcome was revealed on the verse 33 and 34. At that hour of the night, the jailer took them and washed their wounds. Then immediately he and all his family were baptized. The jailer brought them into his house and set a meal before them. He was filled with joy because he had come to believe in God, he and his whole family. After receiving the gospel of Jesus Christ by Paul, the jailer was baptized with his family, thereby becoming a child of God. What would this mean? The jailer and his whole family were now out of sins and death, which restricted them until then. At that night, while Paul and Silas could get out of physical chain, the jailer and his family were set free from the spiritual chain. How could they be free from the sins and death? Was it for their will or effort? Not at all. It was all from the grace of God. God's grace, however, was not given out of nothing. Without Paul and Silas, the jailer and his family could not have been free from the sins and death in that prison in the middle of that night. Paul was in trouble when he met women possessed by the ghost several times in Sardis in Philippi. He wanted to help the poor woman out of the evil spirits, but he also knew in that case how he could suffer from the owners, who was earning a great deal of money from her. Nevertheless, Paul decided to take the troubled he could have and help her get out of the evil spirits in the name of Jesus Christ. The cost he had to pay for this was so severe. He had to be stripped and flogged, and his feet were fastened in the stocks in the inner cell. However, that was the miraculous reason that God wanted to save the jailer and his whole family. Because the body of Paul and Silas were restricted, the jailer and his family could get out of sins and death. This is the principle of God's salvation and the rule of the gospel.
인간을 벗어나게 해 주시기 위해서 성자 하나님이신
Isn't it true that the Holy God was crucified on the cross to save humans from sins and death?
예수님의 제자들이 스스로
Isn't it true that the countless numbers of people were saved out of sins and death since Jesus Christ and his disciples were crucified and died to spread the gospel of the cross? Isn't it true that the jailer and his whole family were saved, ironically because Paul and Silas were restricted in prison cell in the midnight by letting a poor woman be free from the evil spirit? Isn't it true that we are able to be free from sins and death because the missionaries came to Korea, a strange land, and suffered and got troubled? As such, by someone who gets fettered, the other can become free from restraint. This is the message God gives us today on 3 days before the 67th Korea Independence Day. As mentioned already, during my sabbatical months last year, I stayed in Okinawa, Japan, for 3 months from March to May. This place, called Okinawa today, was a Ryukyu kingdom together with around 140 neighboring islands. The Ryukyu dynasty was small in size and population, but has many things in common with Joseon dynasty. The Joseon dynasty and the Ryukyu were set up in 1392 and 1429 respectively, and both paid tributes to China. The history of the dynasties is also similar. 482 years for Joseon, 440 years for the Ryukyu. Moreover, the two dynasties all perished by Japan. The Ryukyu was absorbed into Japan in 1879 and became Okinawa, while Joseon was forced to be annexed to Japan in 1910. Despite such things in common, there is a decisive difference. After the Second World War, the Joseon dynasty gained independence as the Republic of Korea, but the Ryukyu stayed as part of Japan, Okinawa, and forever perished in the history. During the 3 months when I stayed in Okinawa and looking at those beautiful heritages, I could not forget the question why the Ryukyu could not get independence and stayed as part of Japan. And the answer was gained from an article of Professor Kang Hyo-baek, Chinese Law Department Professor, Kyunghee University. He wrote an article titled Roosevelt and Chiang Kai-shek, which was based on the diary of Chiang Kai-shek of the Republic of China, and the minute of the Cairo conference revealed very important facts. From 22 to 27 November 1943, when it appeared certain that Japan would be defeated in World War II, the U.S. President Roosevelt, U.K. Prime Minister Churchill, and President Chiang Kai-shek of the Republic of China met in Cairo, the capital of Egypt, for the Cairo Declaration for the post-war order. The declaration asked Japan for unconditional surrender and to return the occupied territories. The declaration is particularly meaningful for Koreans since it first mentioned the independence of Korea. At the Cairo conference, the first meeting between Roosevelt and Chiang was held on 23rd November 1943, and the second was on 25th November, 2 days after the first meeting. During the two meetings, President Roosevelt proposed that China take the Ryukyu occupied by Japan if China wants. But President Chiang rejected twice, instead suggesting joint trusteeship between the U.S. and China. If the proposal of Roosevelt was taken by Chiang, today's Okinawa and the 140 islands would have been Chinese. There are some rumors about Chiang's refusal to the proposal of Roosevelt. Some say Chiang was not fully aware of the value of the ocean since he was from the land, or some believe that Chiang put all the effort into defeating the Chinese Communist Party and had no energy to think about the Ryukyu. Others say that he did not believe Roosevelt. No one can be sure what is right. Instead, President Chiang insisted the independence of Korea. Why did Chiang insist the independence of Joseon when he was not interested in the Ryukyu? Regarding this, Professor Kang was so confident to say that there were a number of independence fighters in Joseon, while there was none in the Ryukyu. In particular, Chiang was deeply impressed by the young Yun Bong-gil. President Chiang highly complimented the young Yun Bong-gil that he alone did what millions of Chinese soldiers could not when he killed the leaders of Japan with bombing attack. Since then, Chiang became one of the biggest supporters of the Shanghai Provisional Government. Just before the Cairo Conference on 26th July 1943, at the meeting with President Kim Gu of the Shanghai Provisional Government, President Chiang gladly accepted Korea's asking for the complete independence of Korea and the rejection to the trusteeship. So on 22nd November, at the first day meeting, President Chiang wrote in his diary that he planned to propose a complete independence of Korea after the war. And he actually refused the proposal of Churchill to rule Joseon under trusteeship at the Cairo Conference. and declare the independence of Korea across the world through the Cairo Declaration. The coming 50th of August is the 67th Korea Independence Day, commemorating the independence from Japan. Did we have ability to obtain independence again? We had nothing then. We could only get out of the restraint of Japan thanks to the help from powerful countries. But those powerful nations did not take responsibility for the Ryukyu, which has many things in common with the Joseon Dynasty. The powerful nations helped us since there were so many people who fought for the independence of Korea. Just as Yoon Bong-gil, since they willingly dedicated, sacrificed themselves for the independence of Korea, we could gain independence with the help of powerful countries. By being restricted, helping the people set free from the restraint, how biblical and evangelical it is. It seems natural that God helped such a country with such independence fighters to get the joy of independence using the powerful countries as a pathway. If we believe this, the principle of the gospel, do we not think that each of us should hold responsible as one of the Korean people and be restricted voluntarily? So that our next generations will not suffer such a restraint from foreigners? Do you not think that the people in North Korea should get out of the hunger and oppression through our self-sacrifice and dedication? Do you not think that the third world people suffering from diseases and poverty should get free because of the service and love of us? Let us be the Pauls and Silas who let the jailer and his family get out of sins and death by being fettered in prison in the midnight. Then we will get a true independence in Jesus Christ and be used as a pathway for God who get all the people out of all the restraint. Let us pray. By being restricted and died on the cross, Jesus, the Holy God, let Paul, once the enemy to God, get out of sins and death. Paul, after helping the poor woman set free from the evil spirit in the name of Jesus, had to be restricted in prison in the midnight with Silas. However, thanks to the restraint Paul and Silas willingly bore, the jailer and his family had grace of salvation, getting out of sins and death. Since there were missionaries 127 years ago, dedicating and sacrificing themselves for Joseon, people of Korea could have the light of salvation. When there was no hope of independence, there were independence fighters who gladly dedicated and sacrificed themselves for the independence of Korea. Therefore, the leader of the history helped this country get out of the restraint of Japan 67 years ago. As such, we're able to live free through the restraint borne by those people. Therefore, from now on, let us live as a true Christians who restrict by themselves to save others from restraint. Allow us help many people and countries get out of restraint by being restricted in Jesus Christ. In particular, by being fettered by love and caring for our unpleasant neighbor, Japan, let us help the Japanese get out of sins and death so that we can get free from our sins and death and the providence of God can be materialized in the history of humans beautifully. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.